Michael. If you come and exit, so make sure that was really clear. Like Michael said, if you're in the first two groups, you need to be here at 6:30. Okay, because otherwise you'll be late and they won't let you in. They'll try, but they won't let you in. So we've been dueling, and sorry for, I think I like spammed you with text yesterday, did I?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, but basically what happens is what are you doing? Come on. I don't see anything. Let's try this. So basically what happens is my phone, and I need to get a new phone, I understand that, is really slow. So I type something and I click send. Oh, it's not sending. So then I retype it and I click send, and then still not going, and then you end up with, oh, it actually went. It just took forever to go. So I apologize. I won't do that again. But hey, now you know what the website is. And did you bring your homework today? Oh, that text probably didn't go through, right? Bring your homework. The one text that didn't go through. How many did your homework last week? How many don't remember what your homework was? Thank you for being honest. You weren't even here last week. That's good. For those of you that were here last week, you had some homework to do. So let's review. First of all, what is a guardrail? Our series is called Guardrails. A guardrail is a personal rule or law that I establish for myself. I don't make up your guardrails and your rules. I only make them up for myself. And that it's a standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience and commitment. So it's something that I, for myself, say this is my standard and I'm going to stick to it. Now, I can't force my standards on you. My standards are my standards. Now, if you're a Christian here and you know Jesus as your Savior and you've experienced that transformation where you've accepted Jesus, then unfortunately your guardrails are also God's guardrails. So God sets up certain parameters in your life and you have to abide by those because you believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus and you've never accepted Jesus, well then take everything I'm about to say as just some good advice. Whether or not you use it or don't use it would be your choice. But if you're a Christian, you don't really have much choice in this, okay? Because these guardrails are biblical guardrails. So a guardrail is intended to light up your conscience before you hurt yourself or hurt someone else. So the idea is we don't want to be going around hurting people, and we certainly don't want to hurt ourselves. So a guardrail is there to go, whoa, I'm getting close to the ditch, close to the side of the road, I'm getting close to a disaster, I need to get back in the right path. So that is what guardrails are about. The key is they're there to protect you. God isn't about ruining your fun. He's not about destroying your good times. But what he's about is making sure that you are safe and free to live the life that he has called you to live. So the last review was our culture does not celebrate guardrails because it doesn't like rules and commitments. That's why marriages don't last. That's why a lot of people live common law. They just live with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Why? Because they don't want to make the commitment to marriage. Because commitment implies this is for life. Nobody wants to tie themselves down for life. So the rules and the commitments that the world says is, hey, just do whatever you want. And sometimes even what you do could hurt other people, and that's okay. Because the world will sometimes back you up anyway. And they'll say, hey, you know, you had one too many to drink when you hit that other vehicle. It wasn't totally your fault. You were under the influence of alcohol. Oh, that's too bad. And the courts are lenient, and people are like, well, you know, we have mad mothers against drunk drivers, but yet we still have people that drink and drive, and sometimes they get away with it. So God says, no, hey, wait a minute. That's not the way to live your life. That's the way the world or the way society tells you. God has some standards. So last week, this was your homework. You were supposed to confess the areas of your life that you were leading a double life to your SGL, that's your small group leader, or your pastor. You were supposed to sit down and say, you know what? This is where I've been hiding. This is my other account that nobody gets to see but my friends and the secrets that I keep there. This is how I actually live my life at home in the confines of my bedroom when the door is closed. these are things that I'm doing that I need to confess because they're not God's standards. And last week, we specifically looked at friendships, relationships with people. And then, who do you have to remove from place of influence in your life? Which friends that you have currently are not friends that support the values and the direction that you want to take in your life? Remove them from social media, social groups. Stop spending time with them because they're not taking you closer to the direction you want to go. They're pulling you away. Okay, so that was your homework. Put two guardrails in place. You need Jesus. So if you've never experienced Jesus, that would be a place to start. And then the second is a trusted adult. So who is it that you will confide everything to? Now, growing up, that was not my mom and dad. They knew most, but that was my youth pastor, Pastor Dale, and I would tell him everything, but I would not necessarily tell my parents everything. As much as I wished I could, there were just certain things that we just don't want my parents to know we did. And so we made sure that we have another trusted adult in our life. Now, if you can tell your parents everything, that's a bonus. If your parents aren't the overreactive type, the type you go, wow, okay, no problem, let's deal with it, you got great parents. But most parents, it's like, wah! You're grounded for life, right? You're like, sorry, Ma, didn't mean to do that, right? So that was your homework. I don't check homework. I'm a teacher. But I don't check it because this is what will make your life better, or you can ignore it and carry on the way you are. And so we looked at this little chart and we said, who's in the center? That should be God. Then your mentors who know everything about you, and then from there out to your family, from your family to your Christian friends, to people who share the values you do, and then out to the rest of the world where you might want to include people that you are friends with on a basketball team or a soccer team or at a dance studio. They don't know Jesus, but they're people that you like to spend time with, but they should be at the furthest out area of your life. Very little time should be spent with them, because they're not taking you in the directions you should go. Now, that's tough to swallow. Some of you were sitting there last week going, I'm not giving up on my friends. They're my friends, right? I don't care if they pull me away. I don't care if they're promoting things that aren't God's standards. They're my friends, and I'm sticking with them. That's your choice, right? God never, ever forces himself on you. But he says there's a better way to live. Do you want to live that way? Your choice. So today we're going to look at moral choices. So last week was friendships. This week is moral choices. You don't want to come next week because we're going to be talking about your money. Oh, no. You're going after my wallet. That's right. We're going after your wallet next week. But this week we're going to look at moral choices. So that includes sexual relationships, friends with benefits, lying, cheating, illegal downloading, social attacks on others, drugs, drunkenness, pornography, sexual fantasies. All of those things would be considered moral because they affect your morality or who you are morally, okay? Morally is a big word. Who you are in your key concepts of your standards of living. So as a Bible-believing person, somebody who knows Jesus, your morality would be based on God's word and what God's word says. If you are in the world, you could base it on whatever you wanted, but each of these areas would fall under that umbrella. So you have people at all the extremes in your high schools. You have people that are way over here sleeping regularly with lots of different people, and you have people over here that would say, no, I'm saving myself for marriage. There's a huge range. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there's always a range. We're not all, the whole world isn't bad. There's lots of good people in the world. As a matter of fact, I tried to look up, and I couldn't really find it, but I'm going to keep looking for it, all the different religions and what their moral codes are and how they compare. Because Christians aren't the only ones that keep these standards. Muslims keep these standards. Buddhists keep these standards. Every faith or every religion would have a certain moral code that they expect everybody to live by. So it's not just Christians. So when you're out there thinking, you know, hey, no sex before marriage, wow, Christianity's really tough. Christianity's not the only religion that says no sex before marriage. There's lots of other religions that do. So it's important for you to know you're not alone, okay? So the world loves to get us to fail in these areas. Loves to tease us, tickle our desires, just sends little things. And how do I know that? Well, here's why. Because every one of us, myself included, entertain ourselves with media, music, movies, friends, and social media that promotes and glorifies sex outside of marriage, promotes moral failings, and anti-biblical thoughts. Pick a show on TV. Pick a show. How many of those shows promote those kinds of things that God would say are wrong? Doesn't matter what popular show. And I get so excited because I'm like, oh, Anne of Green Gables. I'm so excited. I get to watch Anne of Green Gables. Okay, season one, they tease you, they get you involved in it. Then season two, the first thing they do is throw in a homosexual relationship. Because they want to tease you, they want to trick you, they want to get you to think it's normal, it's okay. Every show now does that. They start off with normal characters. SWAT. Anybody watch SWAT? Great show. Of course, I grew up on SWAT. But this SWAT started off well. As a matter of fact, the director and the producer, I think, is a Christian. So it started with these great morals and values. Then all of a sudden, one of the SWAT members gets involved in a threesome where it's a husband and wife, and they want an additional person in their marriage relationship. So they invite her to come in and be the third person so that she can have a lesbian relationship. He can have another little sex on the side with another girl, and they want to have this threesome. And it's like, seriously? I was really enjoying that show. There's another one I can't watch anymore, right? And it doesn't matter. Every show will tease you and tempt you with promoting glorifying sex outside of marriage, moral failings, anti-biblical thoughts. And then we wonder why we fail. Well, because we're constantly filling ourselves with all of this stuff. And Satan knows it. Now, Satan, if you don't know who Satan is, he's the one trying to take you down. Because Satan is constantly filling you with this stuff, so that when things come up at school or questions come up, or even you're sitting in bed one night thinking, I don't know, maybe I am different than everybody else. Where is that coming from? It's coming from a constant bombardment of the world telling us all that there is no male and female. There's a broad spectrum. Everybody can choose who they are. Okay, I'll just let you know, that's only recent. Okay, man has been on this earth for at least how many years? Well, we know we're 2019, so we know Jesus was born 2019 years ago, but then there was about 700 to 1,000 years, a couple of thousand years before that, because we had Moses and Noah and all those people, so about 5,000 years, 4,000 years roughly. Okay, all of this sexual identity stuff has only been in the last 25 years. Maybe the last 15. So we're willing to throw out 4,000 years of what we think is normal in the last 25 years. We're tossing it all out. And you say, well, yeah, because we're learning new things, really. The Bible's very clear. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything has been before. All of these things have been around us. So we get this constant bombardment. Now, here's the thing. If this world could actually get this right, if we as Christians could actually get this right, there would be less or no poverty whatsoever. You say, well, how's that possible? Well, because we would all have a moral fabric that says, nobody should be there homeless. I'll take them into my home. I'll give them whatever they need to survive, because it's not about me, it's not about how much money I make, it's not how wealthy I am. But there's somebody homeless, and the Bible says that I need to take care of the widows, the orphans, the homeless, and bring them in. We would have less or no family breakup and divorce. Why? Because husbands and wives would marry together in a covenant before God, and if they started thinking about divorce, they'd go, wait a minute, God hates divorce. He doesn't want us to go that way. Let's work this out. Let's find a way to make this work. And part of the fact that there's family breakup and divorce is because there's violence. It's because dads beat moms and kids get involved and all this stuff happens in our families. And then we're like, our family. And we break up our family. Well, there'd be less of that. There'd be less or no drugs and drunkenness. There'd be less or no sexual confusion. Why? Because God's biblical standards, if everybody understood them and followed them, wouldn't have all those issues. But we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world that doesn't like it. As a matter of fact, we live in a world that says, don't flee from it,
flirt with it.
We don't flee from, we like to flirt with. And the Bible says flee sexual immorality, but we don't want to flee it, we want to flirt with it. We want to go around the edges. Well, what if I just try this? Or is this wrong? Or is this, it's just a little off. Is it wrong? Well, the moment we start flirting, we've lost it. We've lost it. You've given up. Because you've gone to the edges, and you are at the edge of the ditch, and the guardrail that says, that's wrong, you've ignored. Well, there's nothing between you now and the ditch. You say, well, maybe the rail's wrong. Maybe God's got it all wrong. Maybe God just doesn't understand that there is more than male and female. Maybe God doesn't understand that it's okay to have sex if you're not married. Maybe just God doesn't understand it. Maybe his guardrail, he just didn't realize. And now he would totally accept that we want a different guardrail. It's not the God I know. Now, if it's the God you know, we can talk about that. But hey, let's look up scripture here. Flee from sexual immorality. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 if you have your Bibles. I'm only going to talk for 6 more minutes or so because I want you to have more small group time tonight on this particular topic because it's really important. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Anybody got it? Nobody got it yet? Bible apps. Nobody has their Bibles. I don't see a lot of Bibles out there. Gonna have to start offering like prizes like we do at Jolt for bringing a Bible. There's lots of Bibles over there. There's about 40 of them. Okay, what does it say? It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Now, God puts this sin above other sins. But all sins are equal. So it's not like lying is less of a sin. But what he's saying is sexual sins have a category all of their own. Because the difference in sexual sins is that sexual sins are against your own body. Your eyes watching pornography. Your sexual organs connecting with somebody else's sexual organs. There's a transfer from one body to another. And he says, that's different. It's hugely different than telling a lie. It's still sin, and it's still equal. Like, he doesn't weight the sins more or less. He doesn't say, well, because you sexually sin, you're way worse than the guy who lies. We're all bad. But what he says is this sin comes with way more consequences than lying. Way more consequences. Because he says you are actually sinning against your own body. So then look what he says. This is kind of really interesting. Oh, we should define that. What is sexual immorality? It includes pornography, sexual intercourse outside of marriage. There are two terms used in the Bible. Fornication, which means I'm not married and I'm having sex. And adultery, which means I'm actually married and I'm having sex with somebody who's not my wife. So some people say, well, it doesn't actually say you can't have sex with anybody. Like, I'm just a teenager. Where does in the Bible does it talk about that? It uses the word fornication. That means you're having sex with somebody that you're not married to. It gets right down to lust or lusting after something, prostitution, incest, bestiality, homosexuality. All of those things are encompassed when he says sexual immorality. You say, well, none of those things are listed there. Okay, well, we can go to other scriptures where it actually lists all of them one by one. But in this passage, he just says, flee from it. And now, why? I love this about Paul. Look what he says. Do you not know? Okay, I don't know. Are you sure you don't know? So Paul's saying, do you not know why? No idea. And then he says, well, let me tell you why, because now you can't say I don't know why anymore. He says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is what makes it different. When you sin against your own body, you're sinning against the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, when you accepted Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, and he came inside of you, and he began to change you from the inside out. And he lives within you. Is that what all those grumblings are? No, that was probably you didn't eat enough for dinner, okay? Or maybe you ate something gaseous. He doesn't make noise in there. He's just part of your conscience. He's part of who you are. And so when you sin against your body, you're actually sinning against the Holy Spirit. I used to, my mom used to say to me, and there was a terrible song about it, but she would say, when you went and saw that movie, did you realize Jesus was sitting right beside you and he had to watch that movie with you? Do you think Jesus was happy? And I'm like, because I was a very sensitive boy. Whereas my brother would have gone, so what? Jesus has seen worse, right? So, but me, I'm like, oh, I'm so sensitive. You're right, Jesus. I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have had to sit through that. But everything we do to our body affects the Holy Spirit and the temple that God has created. And that's why it's different. It's not different than lying. Lying, I tell you a lie. That hurts you. But it doesn't really hurt me. But sexual sin hurts me. And the thing about sexual sin, and let's face it, what happened to the thing about sexual sin? It makes you a liar. I guarantee you, when we're sitting in a small group, this group of boys, in a few minutes, we're going to be sitting here, I guarantee you, if we said, what are your sins? What are the things you're ashamed of? We're willing to usually admit that we lie. We're probably willing to admit that maybe we've drunk a bit too much. But we're certainly not going to look at everybody and go, I had sex with six women, watch a lot of pornography. We're not going to say that. Why? Because that sin is one we don't really talk about. I don't want everybody to know that. I don't want people to know I watch pornography because they're going to look at me different. Well, why are they going to look at you different? Well, because sexual sin is a different type of sin. And so it makes us a liar and a seeker keeper. And the funny part is that girls, I'm not just walking over here, I could walk back there. But here's the thing. Statistics now say that girls are watching more pornography than boys. And you're like, no, girls don't watch porn. That's a guy thing. Girls would never do that. Really? Then why is the statistics now shifted that girls are watching it more than boys? And girls are watching more lesbian sex than regular sex. That's their choice when they're watching pornography. So you're like, we all keep our secrets. And this is one that we tend not to talk about because people are going to look differently at us. Why? Because it's a different type of sin. It's a sin that is against our body. And so Paul says, do you not know your bodies are temples? Now, if you're into like the fancy phrases, here comes another one. You got the flee and flirt one, right? Did you write that one down? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have my journal. Okay, here's the next one. The value of a container is based on what it contains. I don't get it. What are you saying? The value of the container is based on what it contains. And guess what? Your container, your body, contains Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's a value. He died for you. He's inside of you. Your container is hugely valuable. And God says you are the most important thing in the whole world to him. The other thing, that the value of a container is also based on who owns it. God owns you. And he created you. And he said, this is perfect. And we've gone and messed it up. And God says, that's okay. You're forgiven. I still love you. I love you like I did the day you were born, the day I created you. But you have value, huge value. And the moment we start dabbling with any kinds of those things, drugs, alcohol, vaping, cigarettes, sex, pornography, we're basically saying, I don't believe I'm valuable. And God, I don't believe that what you've made is good. You are valued by God. You are loved by God. You are forgiven by God. And God puts limits to give us life because he wants what's best for us. And we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with that because we don't like limits. We don't like when people tell us no. We don't like when our parents do. So one of the things I want you to talk about right now in your group is, do you actually believe your value comes from God? Now you can say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I get that. Okay, yeah, you get that. Do you really understand it? Do you understand the price that was paid for you and for your life? And so what stops you from believing this? Like, who's hurt you in the past? What kinds of things have happened to you where you go, nah, actually, I don't believe in that. I don't think God actually loves me and values who I am the way I am. What gets in the way of you trusting God? And if you answered yes, how does it change your decision making? So if you say, yeah, I do believe God has my value. So how are you living your life differently than other people? See, here's the thing. There are people in this room I look up to. And I'm 55. But I look at you and I go, man, if I had your courage in high school, if I had your boldness in high school, if I could take you and use you to influence the people I know, I would take you today and say, come, be a camp counselor with the kids at my school. Come and have volunteer with my kids. Why? Because you are an amazing example. Now, are you perfect? No, trust me, I know that. But you're amazing because you've made good choices. Well, everybody else in your group needs to know how you do that. I could tell you how I did it, but that's not going to help you. I'm 55. How is the person sitting next to you who goes to school, same grade, same age, how are they doing it? So if you're one of these people that does understand your value, share that with the group. Don't be afraid that they're going to think, man, look at the good person in the man. He's going to say, no. This is a chance for us to learn from you and say, well, what do you do? What strategies do you have? How come it doesn't affect you? How come you haven't had sex? How come you haven't tampered with this or explored that or taken drugs or done stuff at school? Why? Share how you've been keeping yourself straight and narrow so other people can go, oh, okay, I've never thought about that. I should try that. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes on the clock just to explore this before I give you one last thing on how you can put this guardrail into practice. You have 5 minutes. Talk, talk, talk. So, hopefully you've been having a good discussion, but one of the things that my job as the youth guy is to say, well, what can you do? So what kind of steps? Now, again, I gave you some steps last week. You take them or leave them, right? Because it's not about forcing you to do things. It's about saying to you that there is a better way. And you can make that decision for yourself. Sometimes there's a saying in counseling, and when I'm dealing with counseling, it's you got to hit rock bottom before you realize you need to change. Mm-hmm. And so some of you are going to flirt with a lot of things and not flee from them, and you will face the consequences, and eventually it will burn you, and you will eventually get to a point where it hurts, or it hurts somebody else. But until that time, you can make that decision if you're not willing to make changes. So the first one is talk about it with your parents, SGL, pastor, and discuss what guardrails you need. So if you've been flirting and not fleeing, then you need to sit down and have a serious conversation about that, because you need to have an adult speak into that and say, okay, what guardrails do we need to put up? So, for instance, when I struggled with pornography when I was younger, what was the first thing my mentor said? We're logging you into accountability. And so I have an app that controls everything that I watch or see, and they get weekly reports. And it's funny because sometimes they'll see something, like they'll call me up, hey, what the heck is this? What were you searching up? And I'm like, we're talking about sexual immorality in church, and I had to search this up because the word sex got flagged. Right, and then I was searching prostitution and pornography to get some notes, and it's like, oh, right? But I'd rather be accountable than not accountable, right? So what steps can be put in your place? So if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with having sex, if you're struggling with lustful thoughts about girls, then, or boys, then it's time to say, I need some guardrails here. Now, your youth leaders are closer to your age. They might have better suggestions than an old fart like me, but I've been around the block a few times and worked with an awful lot of people your age, and I know some of the things that have to be put in place. But if you don't talk about it and you keep it a secret, you're going to continue to battle with it your whole life because you're not willing to put it out in the open with somebody. Number two, avoid the problematic people in your life. And you say, well, who are the problematic people? You know who the problematic people are. I shouldn't have to tell you. You know when you hang out with this person or you go to this person's house, you do dumb things. So avoid those people. But I like those people. Well, then keep flirting. But if you want to flee, then you got to flee from those problematic people. And we all have them in our life. Number three, don't keep secrets. Find that trusted person. The moment you do something that you know is wrong, you come clean to that person. Because the longer it's a secret, the less likely you'll share it or tell it. But if you do it immediately, it's out in the open, it's cleared up. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes, you make mistakes. You got to come clean right away and say, hey, I did this today. I asked God to forgive me, but I need you to hold me accountable. Who is that trusted? And some of you go, I don't have a trusted person. Well, then get off your behind and find one. It's like, well, I don't know who to ask. Okay, how many times do we have to say your SGL, small group leader, have you asked them? No. Then stop whining. At least start there. If they say no, we'll find somebody else. There's 598 people in this church. I'll find you somebody who you can talk to. But you have to say, I would like somebody. If you don't say it, I can't find you somebody. I'm not going to waste people's time. Number four, social media is a gateway drug. Mm-hmm. It's a gateway drug to sex, pornography, all of those things. It's a gateway drug. What's a gateway drug? It's a drug that gets you in the door. So you see it, you experience it, you watch it. Next thing you know, you live it out. So my kids are like, well, I don't know what a vape is, so what do? They go research vape. Why? Because their teacher told them to. They had to write a report on it. But while they're researching and writing a report on it, guess what? They're also learning an awful lot about it. And then they're going, hey, isn't your dad, doesn't he run a vape store? It's like, yeah, my dad runs the vape store down the road. Hey, let's go and try it out. Right? It's a gateway. It opens up our view to things that I as a child never saw. By the time I dialed up, bing, 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 and you got like the 20 megabits per month, like it just went so slow, and then you typed everything, there was no graphics. So if you wanted to search up pornography, you'd have to type pornography, and all that would come up is words. There was no images. Images came a lot later in my life, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is right in front of you. It's a gateway in. So do you have protections on your surfing at home? Do your parents have filters on? They're not filtering my stuff. It's my stuff, really. Anybody, my three discipleship people know it flags a lot of things that aren't that innocuous and they're not bad, but it picks up on things and says, "Hey, sexual content. Oh yeah, it was an email that came from some nothing to do with me, right? But I have my grade sevens are sexting. They're doing all that kind of stuff, and they're only 12, 11. I'm sure some of you high school know it goes on." There's a girl right here in Surrey that was just in the news, the national news, because she sent a naked picture of herself to some guy, and that guy decided to share it with everybody. And now she's on the front page of the National Post, a national paper, because it's all about the bullying and all about the terrible things that kids are doing. It's like, well, who's the idiot that sent the naked picture? Like, what are you thinking? You flirted. And flirting will always get you into consequences and trouble. Fleeing, you don't have to worry. If you're running away from things, you never have to worry. So those are my little tips for you this week. They kind of go along with the tips from last week. You need somebody in your life who will help you and keep you accountable to your guardrails and God's standards. It's not always our... A lot of you don't have Christian parents. They're not going to keep you to standards. I remember having that conversation with the grade 7 class and the kid... They had to go home and ask their mom, I'm 13 years old. How far is too far for me to go sexually? And then they had to go and ask their dad in a separate conversation. And their mom said, oh my goodness, you should not be doing anything sexually until you're at least 21. And dad said, oh, you can do it now. And the kid's going, hoo-hoo, dad says I can do it, right? Because if they don't have any values or morals either, they don't go by God's standards, they're not going to pass those on to you. So you have to work doubly hard to find somebody in your life who will give you godly guardrails. It's not to say your parents are bad, it's just to say they don't know Jesus, so they're not going to try and promote Jesus' principles in your life. So this week, your homework is to journal and to pray and to take that journal home and say, wow, what steps do I need to take to protect myself morally? Sex, drugs, alcohol, all those things that could pull me down. And for some of you, there's a lot of confession that has to take place this week because you've already failed. You've already done some of these things. And that's okay. God still loves you, still wants you to be His, still thinks you're amazing, still wants to bring you next to Him, but there will be consequences for what you've done. And you got to come up, you got to face Him. Say, Jesus, screwed up. This is what I want to confess to you. Please forgive me. God says, you are forgiven. I don't even remember it anymore, but you got to move forward now. What are you going to change? What are you going to do to protect yourself from doing those things again? God, thank you for this group. I feel like some weeks all I do is just like beat them over the head with a stick. They got to fix their life. They got to take care of these things. They got to put these guardrails in place. But God, you just love them so much that you don't want to see them get hurt. You don't want to see them having to deal with an unwanted pregnancy. You don't want to see them deal with AIDS or STDs that are rampant right now in the Lower Mainland all over the place. You don't want them to deal with alcoholism and become a drunk or somebody who ends up on the streets because they have no value and they don't feel good about themselves. You want them to live this amazing life that I've been honored to live because you have been part of my life, and that their leaders have been honored to live because they've tried to keep you, God, in their lives. And that's what we want for these youth sitting here, God, is that we don't want them to have regrets 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now. We want them to be able to say, I survived and thrived in my high school and growing up because I kept God's standards and guardrails in my life. And God, so many fall and burn during high school. And it's sad to watch. But yet, God, you say there is a better way. If they would just trust you, find somebody that can help them, and that they hold your standards high and follow them. So God, give them a great week this week. I know it's exam week, so for all those that sacrificed tonight that came here thinking, I got a test to study for, but I need to come and hear what God has to say to me, I pray that you would give them an extra 5 marks on that test. Is that not enough? Maybe 10 marks on that test tomorrow. Maybe just give them 20. Maybe just give them such a ease tomorrow where they go, man, it's just coming to me. I don't even remember studying this, but it's just coming to me. Because God, you can do that. We believe that, but only because we've honored you. If we don't honor you, you're not going to honor back. So God, help us as we go home and study. Help us to just work hard on these tests at the end of the semester, and then as we start fresh next semester, that you would give us the courage to live our lives better than we did this semester. A little bit better. So thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we were going to sing one last song, but let's not do that. Let's just hang out, canteen. One last thing. Those of you, I've already given them to May, but those of you that want to go to camp this summer, registrations went live at anvilisland.ca on last Monday, and already one camp is completely sold out, and over 300 and something people have already registered out of the 900 spots available. So I know some of you have never taken that chance. Sarah's been, right? Sarah, you've been? Mm-hmm. To camp?
Yeah.
May's been. Michaela, you've been? Yeah. Who else here has been to Anvil? You've been to Anvil? Yeah. You been? Yeah. Anybody else been? Okay, so if you've never been, yeah, Miguel, you've hung out with me. If you've never been to a camp for a week, It's like an intense Jesus time for a whole week, but with like 100 of your weirdest, craziest friends. And you just get this kind of stuff every day, but you get all of the other fun stuff as well. And so I don't want any of you to miss out. So I have put, with a bunch of my friends, who will remain nameless, but my mom is one of them, we've put about $1,000 aside to help sponsor anybody from youth that wants to go to camp. Now, we can't pay for your whole amount, but we can pay about $400 of the $500 that it takes to go to camp for a week. So we can sponsor, and we will try to sponsor as many kids from here that want to go for a week. If you are 16 or older, I run a leadership program at Camp 7, and so you can apply to that, and then it's a lot cheaper to go to camp because we actually put you to work, but you also learn about being a leader. AnvilIsland.ca, don't leave it too late or there won't be any spots, and next week I will have posters and free t-shirt giveaways and all sorts of things to promote a week of camp. Okay, for all of you listening online, that's www.anvilisland.ca. And don't forget, you can now listen to any of the backstories at cgyouth.ca. Love you. Bye-bye. Okay.